Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Indiana's Teacher of the Year will be announced next month. The 10 finalists from across the state were named recently, among them Kelly Scott of Storer Elementary School in Muncie. We'll talk to her in a moment. Another finalist is Steve Perkins, a Latin teacher from North Central High School in Indianapolis. Here's a YouTube video they shot at his school when the principal surprised him in class with the news.
It was the Department of Education calling to say that he is the top 10 finalist for State Teacher of the Year, and we are very, very proud of him.
So last Tuesday, last period of the day, I'm teaching my third year Latin class, and in walk the superintendent, my principal, my department chair, and several other administrators. And as I've joked with some people, for a moment I thought I was about to be fired right in front of my students. And the superintendent came in to announce that she had just gotten the call from the Department of Education that I was one of the 10 finalists.
Well, congratulations. How long have you been doing this?
This is year 23 overall.
I would imagine in the classics and teaching the classics, there must be some great storytelling opportunities. Sort of, everybody's heard of Julius Caesar, you know, so you're reading his words in the commentaries.
Right. From first year onward, really. Even from the English editor who wrote the story for the first year book, all the way up to the authentic literature of Caesar's war commentaries, Cicero's political speeches, Virgil's epic poem, The Aeneid. It is really a wonderful occasion to get into exciting stories. They're fun. They're interesting. When we read the love poetry of Catullus and Horace, it hits a teenager right where he or she lives, because, again, that's the thing that they're interested in. You read Caesar's war exploits in Gaul. Tremendously fascinating. And we have, actually, I was fortunate enough in 2011 to receive a Lilly Teacher Creativity Grant. So I used that to pursue some research in the Roman army and Roman military reenactment. And I was actually able to buy two complete sets of Roman armor, authentic reproduction Roman armor, which I then use as to do reenactment. A lot of people are familiar with, say, a Civil War or American Revolution reenactment. I have a couple of characters that I do, a centurion and a rank-and-file soldier, where I am actually in that armor. Well, when I'm not wearing that armor, we have two life-size male mannequins in opposite corners of our room, and they stand decked out in this armor. So to be reading a story, Caesar's exploits in Gaul, and to be able to look over in the corner of the classroom, and there's a life-size centurion with authentic armor, it really brings those stories to life.
What do you learn in 23 years of teaching? To some extent, I mean, you learn some things yourself, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Without question, the thing that I've learned the most, and it is the most important thing to me that I've learned, is that you approach the students first, and the students as really fellow human beings. And I've said that several times here lately, and telling people, I say that sounds very trite, but it is absolutely accurate. I remember, as a first-year teacher, my wife and I are from Indiana, but our first teaching assignment was in Kansas City, Missouri. And the day before, right before the first of school, we were meeting with one of the other teachers at the school and being mentored. And I wanted to sit down. I had my pad of paper. And, okay, what do we do the first day of school? You know, I'm wanting to teach Latin grammar right away. And she kind of laughed and said, well, no, you need to talk about the procedures and rules and so forth. Okay, fine. But when do we get to the grammar? And it was all about the content for me. And then over time, fairly quickly realized, though, that no, it's about the students first as people. and simply recognizing that they're fellow human beings. They're not just little empty vessels to pour knowledge into, or whatever other metaphor we sometimes have. And that's why, especially with Latin and languages and so forth, it falls under the rubric of the humanities. This is a humane enterprise. It's human beings engaging in that most humane of enterprises, helping each other discover the world. So really, that has been the most, without a doubt, the most significant thing, certainly the most important to me over the years.
Do you get better results when you're treating the folks, well, you said as humans?
I should know the most of anybody in the room. Otherwise, why was I hired, right? I should be the expert in the content. Well, that doesn't mean that I'm superior to. That doesn't mean that I'm better than. And so it's simply looking into the eyes of a student and recognizing, hey, you're having some problems, and if I can remember back far enough, I had those problems too. I had some of those same challenges, whether academically, not understanding how, you know, to form a particular verb, or socially, you know, worrying about whether the cute so-and-so two rows over likes you. And as adults, we sometimes can poo-poo that and say, well, that's insignificant. But in the life of a 16-year-old, it's paramount. That's the most important thing on their mind. And so being able to look at them and recognize that, so yeah, I've been there. And at times, if need be, we'll talk about those issues before we get around to how to form that particular verb. You know, I had a young lady here recently who, right at the beginning of the year, was out of school for an extended time. And when she came back to the class, she'd already missed quite a bit. It was first year Latin, so terrible time to have missed right at the beginning of the year. And when she came up to my desk, the first thing I said was, how are you doing? How are you feeling? You know, I want to know that you're okay. And then once we've established that, then we can move on to talking about what you've missed, what you need to make up, and how we're going to help you do that. Because I remember what it was like to be absent. I remember what it was like to be overwhelmed with work when you come back. So, you know, bridging that human to human, I think, is the thing that happens first, and then you can move on to the other.
There must be some pretty nice moments when you do that.
Tremendous. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I say to my wife sometimes, you know, I'm amazed that I get paid to do this. Certainly, we all think the teacher should get paid more, and that's obviously a constant source of discussion these days. But on the flip side, I'm amazed that I get paid to do it. It is such a wonderful experience. And then just to see them as freshmen, start to build those relationships. And just today, I finished writing a letter of recommendation for a young lady who's one of my fourth-year seniors. And part of what I said in the letter of recommendation, I said, I've been looking forward to writing this letter for 4 years. She was such a neat young lady as a freshman, just extraordinarily humble, grateful, gracious young lady. And so now that she's a senior, I was looking forward to writing this letter. And yeah, those are the moments that you just absolutely savor.
North Central High School Latin teacher Steve Perkins, one of the 10 finalists for Indiana Teacher of the Year. Up next, Kelly Scott of Muncie, another one of the finalists.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh.
I am Kelly Scott, and I am a teacher at Storr Elementary School, and I received the news last week that I am one of the top 10 finalists in the Teacher of the Year for the state of Indiana.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're standing out in front of your school here, and you're smiling as you look at this. This is a happy place for you.
Yes, this is a great school. The teachers here are wonderful. We have all kinds of collaboration time where we meet with each other weekly and monthly and work together as a team. A lot of times, you know, people think that teachers are on their own and they're doing their own thing in their own classrooms, and that's not how it is here at Storr. We work together as a team, and everybody here works together to make this place what it is, a great school.
Tell us what you do here at STOR.
I'm the data coach, also an interventionist. So I look at all of the formative and summative data that comes in for all of the students. And then I look at that and decide, I work with the teachers and then the other interventionists and decide which students need some extra help and which students need enriched. And we put them into groups by what they need. And we make sure that every student is accounted for and given individualized attention or small group attention. And then the intervention part of it is I meet with some of those small groups myself.
What do you think people don't understand about the challenges facing teachers today?
Well, I am a mom. I have my own kids. I have a 1-year-old and a 9-year-old and a husband and my own parents and sisters. And so I have a family life outside of school. And teachers put their whole self into what we do, and it's hard to have a family life and be a great teacher at the same time.
Now,
and
why is that? I mean, what?
Just because, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, teaching is the best profession when you have kids because you get the summers off. But really, teachers don't really have the summers off. They use the summer to catch up and learn more about their craft so that they can do better and with the kids. And so, and we spend countless hours in the morning before school and countless hours after school. Our job is not a job that you go to from 9 to 5 and it's finished. We keep the kids in our mind every evening, and we
probably have homework and lesson planning.
Exactly, yeah. Lesson planning, preparing for the kids that we're going to have the next day, and yeah, it's a lot of work. And so trying to juggle family life and school is a hard job, but it's very rewarding in the same breath. It's very rewarding to be with the kids and see them learning.
So you're a data specialist now, but in the past you had been a classroom teacher, that could be an intimidating experience to walk into class for the first time, even though they're young children.
Yes, my first year of teaching was in St. Louis, Missouri, and I was a teacher in a city school in Jennings County, and it was intimidating my very first year of teaching with kids, but you know, it's gotten easier over the years, and I love it. I'm not intimidated when I'm in front of children, but this interview intimidates me.
Come on. What do most of us not realize about young people at this age? I mean, they really do want to learn. Kids don't necessarily dread school, right?
Right. They're sponges. They want to learn, and if you believe in them and they know you believe in them, then they will respond. It just takes somebody who believes in them and knows that they can learn and that they can grow. And if you have that with them, then they will.
Not everybody can do this, though, right? If somebody were thinking about maybe entering education, what would you say? Hey, you better keep this in mind.
I think it takes a special person to be a teacher. I myself am a godly woman. I love God, and I believe that He instilled in me this talent of teaching, and I think that He picks out people that have this talent of teaching. Everybody has talents, and you're right, not everyone can be a teacher.
Kelly Scott, a teacher at STOR Elementary School in Muncie. She's one of 10 finalists for Indiana Teacher of the Year. The winner will be announced next month. I say winner, but these teachers I've met who are finalists don't sound like competitors for a title, more like caring mentors, exactly the kind of people you're glad are at the front of the room.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana's Teacher of the Year will be named in a few weeks. The candidates include 10 folks selected as the best not only in their own schools, but their school districts. One of those is Steve Perkins, a Latin teacher at North Central High School in Indianapolis. You might wonder how secure somebody teaching the classics feels in this age of great interest in STEM degrees, math, engineering, technology, and science. Are you ever concerned about the future of Latin instruction?
Always. You know, every once in a while you will hear of a school or even a university that decides to cut its Latin or classics program. I've written numerous letters over the years in defense of such programs, again, from secondary to university level. I actually was having this conversation very recently, and I mean this literally. I'm not being facetious in any way, but when a school says, well, hey, we're going to cut music, we're going to cut art, we're going to cut one of the languages, my response is, why didn't you cut the math program? And, of course, the assumption is, well, but nobody wants to say, well, but math's important, to which I would say, and the others are not. Again, we're talking about educating the whole person. We're talking about educating human beings, back to the whole notion of the humanities again. Yes, it's a technological age. I get that. I certainly understand that. And math is terribly important. But I don't know that it's more important than the performing arts. I don't know that Latin is less important than the physics class. If, as a community, we decide we want to educate our children in the fullest way possible, then we need to provide those opportunities. And when the question comes up about funding, well, we don't have the money. Again, I would look, and again, I'm talking about us as a people, as the United States broadly. We have plenty of money for education. Look at how much money we spend on booze, smokes, pornography. We have plenty of money for education. We choose to spend it on other things.
There are things that anyone gets from reading Virgil, from reading the Aeneid, the story of people fleeing the fall of Troy, right, and founding Rome. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. That's exactly.
I had to struggle there a second, but
you remember it well.
But the lessons that these people reach out to touch us with from 2,000 years ago.
There's a reason that they do. There's something that is universal in them. So many students in English classes even will read the Odyssey by Homer. Well, why does that touch us? Because we've all been on a journey. We are all on a journey. We've all faced difficulties. We've all faced challenges that whose origins we didn't understand. Here's Odysseus being buffeted at sea by various forces. He doesn't understand entirely what's going on. He knows he's trying to reach home. We've all been there. You take the episode where he has the winds that are tied up in the bag, and his men think it's treasure. They are just off the coast of home. They're just off the coast of Ithaca, and the men untie the bag. Well, then the winds blow him back off course, and now he's lost again. And we have a version of the Odyssey that we read in Latin in first year, and we talk about that. You know, how many times have we been close to a goal? Maybe it's a goal of weight loss. You know, maybe it's a goal of making the team. Maybe it's a goal of making first chair violin. And something happens right at that last moment that takes us away from our goal. Well, we can relate to that. We can relate to that story. And I think that's why it's been, all of those stories have been popular for 2,000 years.
Even in a time of Xboxes and constant connections and mobile devices, there are still students interested in the classics. How do you explain
there really
that?
Are. Well, I'm not sure that I can. Latin enrollment has been climbing, really, for the last couple of decades in this country. At North Central High School, we're a school of over 3,500 students. We have many foreign languages. We have Latin, German, Hebrew, Spanish and French, Chinese and Japanese. And Latin is the third largest behind Spanish and French. Our chapter of the Junior Classical League, which is a national organization for high school students to pursue classics, has been one of, and in some years, the largest chapter in the state of Indiana. So what accounts for that? Well, you know, a few years ago, some people were saying, well, maybe it's Gladiator, maybe it's the movie Troy and things like that. Well, I think those kinds of things have maybe a momentary bump, but not in the long haul. I think it's engaging students in a meaningful way with something that they can see really does shape their lives. The textbook we use, which has been around since, I think, the 1940s, it's been continuous publication, is called Latin for Americans. And I talk about that in the first year Latin class. Why is it called that? The simple fact is our culture, and not just in the United States, even, but really in the West, certainly, is Greco-Roman. You look at our language. You look at our movies, our art. You look at our law. You look at our government. You look at our architecture. And it's Greco-Roman to its foundation. So to understand the culture in which you live is a valuable thing. And I think students are realizing that Then it's certainly we're doing the language. We are a language class. We're taking care of our nouns. We're taking care of our verbs. But we're also engaging in that broader historical cultural component, and students are realizing the grand story of which they are a part.
Are there new things that we're discovering about the classics?
We just discovered, and I forget where it is in Greece now. I don't have the link in front of me, but we've recently discovered a Mycenaean-era palace, an amazing structure that's just been discovered with hundreds of tablets of Linear B. Well, been there for 2,000 years, but we didn't know it. We just discovered it. There are incredible discoveries being made through archaeology and, again, through technology. Several years ago, there were some manuscripts that were discovered, and through new digital imaging, we were able to see actually some handwriting and some actual drawings, mathematical drawings, which were extraordinarily rare. We were able to see this through computer imaging in a way that we'd never seen it before. So there's always something new to discover in that way. And then, of course, you referenced the Aeneid, just even in terms of literature. I'm sure I never teach the Aeneid the same way twice, because I've got new students. And they're going to see new things. They're going to pick up on things, or they're going to say something that makes me think of something. We're interacting with that legendary text, not merely just reading it, but we're interacting with it, engaging it. And so there's always something new to discover, because we're new people each year that we approach it.
And you, up 10 years, can't know the fears.
Steve Perkins, one of the finalists for Indiana Teacher of the Year. Listening to him, you're reminded of the power of a single person in the lives of young people. So many of us can think of a teacher who inspired us and made a difference in our lives. The Teacher of the Year competition is a reminder of just how many of those really extraordinary people are out there. For all the things that go wrong these days, they're a reminder of how right we can get it sometimes. The poet Taylor Molly had a piece in which a wealthy, somewhat arrogant person asked him, "You're a teacher, right? What's a teacher make, anyway?" And Taylor Molly says, "Yeah, I'm a teacher. I make a difference. What do you make?" That's our show for today. Thank you to the teachers out there making a difference. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time, and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you'd like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.